to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And wow, am I excited. I am so excited to have two incredible saints with me. Deacon Angelo and Cindy Giambroni, welcome to Empowered by the Spirit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am so thrilled that you are here and your incredible yes. We have focused so much in the past about healing, and so many times marriages, which we're going to be talking about today, and our title will be Wedding Bands, and we're talking about this incredible apostolate that you have focusing on marriages. And first, let's talk about you guys. How long have you been married?
Well, we've been married for 37 years and going here beyond that, hopefully 38 very soon.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, actually, the anniversary was in May, and how time flies, you know.
That's amazing.
And see, we live in Huntington Beach. Our parish is St. Vincent de Paul there in Huntington Beach, and we have three adult children and a grandson.
Right. Wow. Well, congratulations. Where'd you guys meet?
We met in pharmacy school.
Yeah,
at UCSF.
Well, that is the top pharmacy school, and you guys are both PharmDs, correct?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, and I think I met you somewhere along the way in my lifetime. And the amazing thing about them, I will never forget, when I first saw that you were going to be a deacon, Angelo, I just had, I didn't know, is this really happening? Because I saw you guys and both of you as this incredibly professional executive couple of people who were kind of like running healthcare in Southern California. But then you turned up over here applying to be a deacon, and now you've been a deacon for how many years?
Six, actually. Just
six
celebrated
years,
that last month, yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What made you decide to become a deacon?
Well, you know, we were involved and still involved with Worldwide Marriage Encounter, and which has brought us ever closer to Christ and seeing him in the sacrament of marriage. So each year is part of the process of being what's called presenting team. These are the couples that actually present the weekends for Worldwide Marriage Encounter. They're supposed to discern. So we were discerning, and we said, is this what you want for us, Lord? We're not, you know, whatever you would like for us, Lord. And I remember on that Sunday morning, after we received communion, we're both praying on our knees. And we walk out of the church, and Father Jerome said, Angelo, I want to talk to you about something. And that was the start.
And what'd you think about that, Cindy?
Well, it's funny, Steve, because normally every year during discernment, we never hesitated. So we would get the question, and the very next day we would respond yes, that we would like to participate for another year. But something that year held us back. And I distinctly remember on that Saturday night going to Angelo and saying, I don't know why it's taking us a while to make the choice, but maybe we should pray about it. And so we asked God for some sort of sign, or could you please help us make this decision? And less than 12 hours later, Father Jerome pulled Angelo aside and said, have you ever thought about being a deacon? And I started laughing.
Wow. Wow. It was like, was that quick enough for you, you know, within 12 hours? That is so exciting. And, you know, it's interesting what God does, right? Did you ever plan on being a deacon in the past?
As I told Father Jerome when he sat down with us about a week later as a couple, I said, I haven't even been an altar server. So, I mean, this is,
you know, I know, me neither.
It's kind of like skipping. Am I supposed to go some sort of progression?
Right. I know.
Anyway, but it's just a wonderful thing. And we said yes, and it felt good because we were doing it as a couple, and we still do it as a couple as far as what we're currently doing as a deacon couple.
Yeah. And as you're aware, Steve, it's a 5-year process. And so as a convert, the opportunity to participate in the formation and the education that Angela and I both received as part of that process was, for me, fantastic.
So tell us about being a convert. What was that like? And tell us how you were a convert. I mean, what did you grow up with?
My parents are from England, and so I was baptized as a Protestant. But what happened was, one Sunday, our neighbors across the street introduced my parents to the Los Angeles Rams, and the Rams played on Sunday, so we stopped going to church.
I see. Okay. Wow. I hope they won. You know,
well,
yeah. I don't think they won too often, but
yeah, I grew up part of the time in Cyprus, and our neighbors at the time had season tickets, and so we would go to the Coliseum, and that replaced our services.
Church,
but
yeah.
As I was growing up, all of my friends were Catholic, so I would go to church, but I didn't understand what was happening. So my best friend in high school would take her with me to Mass on Sunday morning. But typically what we did was arrive after the first reading and then leave after she took communion. So I thought that's how the process was.
Right. Yeah. Incredible. And so, and Angelo, were you a cradle Catholic?
Yeah. Catholic, Italian, Catholic family.
Yeah. I knew I liked you.
Yeah. Yeah. And going to Mass and... I told my kids, because right now our church is right next to Good Shepherd Cemetery, and I said, remember growing up as a kid, we used to go after Mass to the cemetery, mm-hmm. and it was a very, you know, Italian thing, and we would be having our picnics amongst the, well, hopefully future saints or current saints, whatever Amen. You might find in the cemetery. And
right.
What anyway,
cemetery, by the way?
Oh, God, I was Buffalo, New York. I couldn't.
Oh, is it
yet.
Buffalo? Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I wouldn't.
No, that's okay. No, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Now, you've been married, you said, what, 37?
37 years.
37 years.
Yeah.
And when did you want to then use that gift of marriage, the sacrament of marriage, and apply it as a ministry? When did that happen?
Well, we probably should share our experience. Our first time we went on Worldwide Marriage Encounter. You want to start, Cindy?
Sure. So in April 2002, we went on a Worldwide Marriage Encounter. At the time, it was called a weekend. Now it's called an experience.
Mm.
At the time, we had three teenagers, and we had been invited multiple times. We had heard pulpit talks at church. We had scheduled and canceled a few times because just the schedule didn't
mm-hmm,
work out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we went on the weekend in April 2002.
Mm.
When we went in, the couple we went in as was very different than the couple that left.
That's right.
3 days later.
Wow. What the Holy Spirit moved in a mighty way.
Yes.
And what happened?
I realized that marriage is a sacrament. I didn't fully understand that as a convert, and I don't know, maybe I...
What does that mean to our listening audience? You know, you hear the word sacrament and, of course, marriage, and what does it mean, marriage as a sacrament?
So what that meant to me as a participant on the weekend is a sacrament is a visible sign of God's love,
mm-hmm.
and just as there's sacraments like baptism... The concept of being unbaptized was very foreign to me, but I never really thought about being unmarried mm-hmm. through divorce. So coming to the realization that marriage is a covenant and not a contract.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a covenant mm-hmm. and it's an unbreakable bond. Mm-hmm. And so you can't, in my mind, I couldn't see being unbaptized or unconfirmed. And so that was a big learning for me that weekend.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. You know, and of course, there's so many marriage programs out there, and Marriage Encounter is one of the best by far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was fortunate to go on a weekend. But the whole concept of the sacrament of marriage, Angelo, you know, I'm not sure that many Catholics fully grasp what that means.
What we'd like to say is two hearts, two souls in unity with Christ. In the sacrament of marriage, as any sacraments, there is graces that God offers. And so as a couple, when you go through those times, you're struggling, and recently COVID and all that, all kinds of struggles people went through, job losses, people getting sick, you can just turn to the sacrament and know that God is present in the marriage, and it just fills you up with the Holy Spirit. And that is something. I mean, the reality of the sacrament of marriage and what feeds you as a couple is a beautiful thing. And when you recognize it, God is there. We'd like to talk about the road to Emmaus, and they talk about two walking with Christ. We imagine those being a husband and wife.
Amen, amen, amen. Again, we're with Deacon Angelo and Cindy Giambroni. We're talking about the sacrament of marriage, and I'm really excited to announce that they both will be leading a new radio show called Wedding Bands, and that's a coming attraction that will be heard on Spirit-Filled Radio. But the reality is they've been very active involved in Marriage Encounter and in marriage programs. You know, one of my favorite programs is called Marriage in the Lord, and I know you guys are familiar with that, and that's because that marriage is held together by Jesus Christ, you know, and so many people don't realize that. They don't think about that, that Jesus is at the center. And there's incredible blessings, and as you mentioned, grace, which means unmerited favor. There's incredible blessings, favor upon that married couple when they turn to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And yet, so many couples, you know, I'm just doing focus interviews, you know, and the focus inventory, as I know you guys do. And so many of them just, their religion, their faith isn't all that important. We're going to come right back from a break and have that question answered. If you're getting married, considering being married, ask yourself, where am I in relationship to Christ? Because I am asking Jesus to be there at the very heart and soul of what I'm about to do in getting married. And ask yourself, am I prepared in which I'm open to let God into this marriage? This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're an Empowered by the Spirit, and we're focused on the sacrament of marriage and the beauty of that sacrament, the power of that sacrament. So many people aren't aware that Jesus is at the center of the sacrament of marriage, and to draw upon Jesus, tell us a little bit more about that. You know, we're married in a church, in a Catholic church. So many people, I'm sure you get asked, I get asked, can you marry me on the beach? Can you marry me up in the mountains? Can you do that? And I go, no, it's with Jesus.
Right.
It's, you know, right there in the church. It has to be there. When they turn their lives to Jesus Christ, in that, I know you guys do with, working with engaged couples and do a lot of that. What do you do when you find those couples that maybe they don't know Jesus and they want to get married and whatever? What do you do?
A lot of questions there. I mean, where is your prayer life?
Mm-hmm.
Do you pray? How do you pray?
Mm-hmm.
Do you pray together as an engaged couple? If we're talking married couples, so do you pray together as a married couple? When you pray, you're communicating with God. And when you communicate together, that means we both see God in our relationship. Having the wedding in the church, you essentially bring the liturgy or the prayer of the entire community into that relationship to bless the relationship, to ask for God's presence in that relationship. And when you recognize it, more than beautiful gown, more than the wonderful reception, more the fact that God is present there. The summit of our faith is the Holy Eucharist. For those weddings where they have Eucharist as well, further represent God's presence in the Eucharist, in that wedding, in that event. Having them understand that is, you know, you gotta be you know, where people where they're at. You know, people are in different places. Pope Francis says, you know, be present, you know, essentially where people are. And part of marriage is understand that we have a mission. It's really a missionary sacrament itself, that we have a mission to impact the community around us, our families around us. And to have someone, a couple, recognize that is a challenge, especially when they're a young couple or a couple that's, you know, obviously there are couples that sometimes are living together, and so they already have a relationship, or they get into marriage blessed in their church, they're at different points in there. So we have to, in our ministry, we have to figure out where they are. And, you know, basic question is, do you pray together? How do you pray together?
Yeah, that's powerful, you know, and prayer is communication with God. It's connecting with God. Jesus tells us in John 15, remain in me and I will remain in you. How do we remain in Jesus? We bring Jesus into our life, into the relationship. It's so, so important. And we talk about, Cindy being a missionary disciple. When we're with these couples that are engaged and want to be married, right at the top of the list is being a missionary disciple to them and really introducing Jesus to them in many times, and how Jesus has to be the center of what they do together, because there's going to be storms.
You know what, Deacon Steve, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when we talk about the importance of faith and God and marriage, I think engaged couples sometimes don't realize how challenging marriage can be sometimes. They think about the happily ever after, but what they don't know is about teenagers and bankruptcy.
How about dirty diapers
and
illness and right.
In-laws and outlaws.
There you go. Exactly.
All of that. So, you know, even at the point that we speak to them initially, even if we don't convince them of the importance initially, I think we plant the seed.
Mm-hmm. Which is so, so important to talk about reality. To your point, so many times, you know, they see the good things and it's really hard. And I'm going to be as candid as I possibly can. You mentioned living together, and that is, of course, the norm now. They're already living in sin. And what do you do as it relates to not watering down the truth, Angelo? You know, that's a rough one.
Yeah, and it is a rough one because, again, you have to be where they're at.
Right.
You have
right.
to be, and you have to be supportive, not judgmental. I mean, Jesus sat and ate with the tax collectors, right?
Yes.
So we have to be with them.
Right.
We have to support them. And show them an alternative, or share with them an alternative, which is, you know, a faith-based marriage and the beauty of that sacrament. And we should be ready. Mm-hmm. We have to prepare them, as all of us have prepared, even if we're talking about receiving Eucharist, for the reception of the Lord. So they're mm-hmm. receiving the Lord and His graces in the marriage. They need to be prepared for it. But we have to be, I believe, non-judgmental and just talk about reality. Talk about where you're going to go. What are your understanding of that? Mm-hmm. But it is a challenge, because I would say that is cohabitation, that whole thing, or married outside the church is a reality, and we need to be welcoming those people who are now turning to Christ, turning to the church, not to be judged, but to be cared for, not to be put down, but to be lifted up.
And we find so many couples who don't even want to be married in the church at all, you know, and they're just living together, you know, don't necessarily want to be married. So it is all about evangelization from my vantage point. It is all about bringing Jesus to them. And in bringing Jesus to them, we strengthen their ability to stay married, you know, because the reality is that it's not if, but when storms will happen. What are some of the challenges to strong marriages, in your opinion, Cindy?
I think that some of the challenge has to do with prioritization and making sure that the couple keeps their relationship as their primary focus. There are, once you're married and once you go into the world with jobs, with children, with family, there are a lot of distractions, but it is very important that you keep your faith and your relationship your primary focus, because mm-hmm. if you can get that part right, everything else, I think, will fall into place.
That is absolutely awesome. That was Cindy Giambroni along with Deacon Angelo Giambroni, married for 37 years, actively involved in many marriage encounter leadership programs and other marriage leadership programs. Now, the thing that's really fascinating to me, and I have to say that, fascinating, is I have so much respect for the two of you in so many different ways, not least of which professionally, because I was able to interact with you professionally. Now, you two are very successful and have been very successful with your professions and as PharmDs, and whether it be managed care of some kind or running pharmacy operations. And yet you have this incredibly strong marriage. What I see in so many couples in which, you know, one I'm just going to be doing a focus inventory on very shortly. What are you worried about? I'm worried about time with each other, because both of us have these very high powered jobs, you know, and it's so difficult. So many people, I mean, their goals are how successful can I be? And they both have the same goal of being super successful. How do you guys deal with that when you're working with couples?
Right. You know, the way success is measured in the world is not the way success is going to be ultimately measured by our Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the important tools that we, either educate or coach folks about is time, couple time.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a specific time of the week, a date night, with Worldwide Marriage Encounter, we also talk about daily dialogue,
mm-hmm.
where you invest 10 to 20 or an afternoon together, and that's something rock solid. You're going to do that. And Cindy will talk about the fact that, one of the things that Cindy shared in one of our recent meeting is some people are very careful about brushing their teeth for at least 2 or 3 minutes. They're going to do it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the commitment to 10 or 20 minutes a day to your spouse?
Mm.
And we were, both busy. We're both, in fact, all over the country and
sometimes all around the world.
And we're committed to it. And in fact, we're pretty close to writing 7,000 love letters to each other.
Wow.
From our first weekend.
Wow.
And so we have at home, boxes of journals. We've been keeping those and we look forward to that. And that's something they teach you in the Worldwide Marriage Encounter, but it's also support in other ministries we've done. Write a love letter. Schedule a date night. Keep that night. Everything else is, or date afternoon. Keep your marriage as a focus. Cindy was talking about going to Mass. We go to Mass 1 hour a week, and that's, it's kind of the minimum amount of time we're going to devote to our Lord. This is a time to devote to each other, which is also a time really for devotion to the sacrament of marriage and a reflection of your love for God as you care for each other. My dad used to say one of the secrets. I asked him, what's the secret, Dad, to a long marriage? And he goes, I take care of Mom so she can take care of all of us.
Nice.
And that's what we try. And I take care of Cindy so she can take care of all of us. And taking care is spending that time, and you devote that time, and everything else is not important. You spend time to turn on CNN or Fox News or watch a sporting game. You have to see more important than that time with your spouse and support them in some way. And, we're going to have times when we fall, where we didn't write the love letter, we didn't spend time, we missed our date night, but it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Still to say, at this time is our focus on each other, and it's a beautiful thing. We ask the couples, either in marriage formation or enrichment, think about it when you first met. Cindy and I were both in school with heavy class loads, but we would find time for each other. In real life, you have to find that time as for the couple.
We're with Deacon Angelo and Cindy Giambroni talking about the sacrament of marriage. I just want to say, you both married well.
Thank you.
But it is, the key word was priority, to make each other the priority.
Mm-hmm.
People don't do that.
Well, Deacon Steve, I think part of that is, it's not an intentional choice.
Mm.
I think what happens, and whoever's listening to this program, I think that's going to be one of our objectives in wedding bands, is to let those of you who are listening who may be struggling with their marriage to let you know that you're not alone, and that what you need to do is to make an active choice to feed your marriage. Just like with a plant that needs water or needs to be fed, your marriage needs to be fed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can make the choice to, like Angelo said, make your relationship a focus and put it on your calendar, just like you would do at work, then I think you can maybe avoid some of that disillusionment.
So this December 18th will be our 50th wedding anniversary, Marianne and I. And
wonderful.
So like you, you know, these long marriages that everyone wants when they get married, right? Everyone wants to have a long marriage. You have to reinvent yourself over and over again. And we're going to talk about that when we come right back, of how do you keep the marriage fresh over time? Because in the beginning, you know, should be pretty good, you know, but then over time, people change their lives, their priorities, and you have to reinvent yourself. It's Deacon Steve Greco. We're going to be right back.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running
for... We're back. We're back with this amazing couple, Deacon Angelo and Cindy Giambroni, who have been married for 37 years. I just mentioned that my wife, Marianne, and I will be celebrating our 50th in December 18th. And it wasn't all perfect. And over and over and over again, you have to look at where you are at, in my opinion. I'm going to ask you, and that is, how do you keep it fresh? How do you reinvent yourself over a long period of time in which you're not just enduring a marriage? Maybe you don't want to get divorced or whatever, but it becomes ongoing, alive, and vibrant. How does that happen over time? I know you're working primarily with newer couples and engaged couples and so forth, but for those couples listening that are wondering, how do I get my marriage to be exciting again?
So, Deacon Steve, I think the most important thing is communication.
Yes.
So, communication of feelings, communication of situations, transparency. Mm-hmm. As you said, you know, you've been married 50 years. We've been married 37 years. And sometimes, quite frankly, it's messy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's messy.
What?
Right.
Yes.
Things, and my personality style is one that I like to have a plan and I like the steps to go, sort of like a prescription or a recipe, mm-hmm. where you do step one, step two, step three. And when things go off kilter, that's hard for me. Mm-hmm. So to be able to communicate that to Angelo and talk about what's happening, what's actionable, what we can change, what we can't change, and then ask for God's help in situations. I mean, we've had some incredible things happen in our 37 years.
That's right. That's right.
And if it wasn't for communication and faith in God, I don't know how we would have gotten through.
So, Deacon Steve, just build on that. I like to think of marriage as a precious stone, maybe whether it's a diamond or ruby. And the way you know it's a genuine stone is it has flaws in it, right?
Oh, interesting.
And because a synthetic stone would be perfect like glass.
Mm.
Marriages like those stones, like the diamond, are solid. And you should expect your marriage, just like a diamond, to reflect light.
Mm.
And the light is a rainbow, and the light is obviously brighter in those light days and maybe a little darker in the other days. But going through struggles and sometimes the pain in a relationship and coming out of that to know that you're not alone, that Christ is present in your relationship, is an act of faith, and it's also an act of love. And so when we do our marriage enrichment, or as another program we call the marriage course, we talk about disillusionment and the things that you would go through, that we all go through. And one of the things that Cindy pointed out is very common to all marriages. There is ups and downs. It's a little bit of a roller coaster, you know, and part of the thrill is going down as well as going up on a roller coaster. Who wants to go on a flat roller coaster, Deacon?
And roller coasters are exciting, right? You know, very exciting. You know, one of the things I want to turn to is the second chapter of Philippians, because I think it has a lot of clues of longevity of relationship, longevity of marriage. And chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Complete my joy of being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Ratherly, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for their own interests, but for those of others. That's Philippians 2 through 4. Now, I think this is what it's all about, you know, is, as you guys know, if I'm thinking about me, how can that person serve my needs? And, oh, you're not serving my needs, then it's going to be rocky, because no one can think and do exactly what the other person wants them to do. There's just no way, nor do you want them to do that. But if I say to myself, how can I be Jesus to my wife? How can I listen, as you said, the communication, but how can I really listen? Turn off the sports game, really hard for me, right? Why is it, Angelo, that so many times in the middle of the most exciting time in that football game or whatever basketball game, my wife wants to have this deep conversation with me, right? How does that work? You know, I think, you know, that it just happens in what she's saying. Do you love me more than this? You know, and, but you have to show that you love, you know, your spouse, in my case, obviously my wife, more than what else I'm doing. You know, if I'm not watching TV, to put down what I'm doing, you know, I mean, I'm in the middle of something for ministry or something, or even talking on the phone with somebody, you know, cutting that a little bit shorter than maybe I want to spend time with Marianne, and maybe like to go in another room, you know, so that now I'm really, okay, now I'm going to really focus on you. Your thoughts on that, Cindy?
Yeah, I mean, it's that making that active choice.
Yeah.
To really focus on the other. And I think what Angelo talks about is sometimes what he says is that his primary job as my husband is to help me get to heaven. Mm-hmm. And as his wife, that's my beautiful. Primary job is to try and get him to heaven.
Right.
So how can mm-hmm. I help him do that? And how can he help me do that?
I'm so glad you said that. Mm-hmm. That is incredibly powerful and important. And if couples really think that way, everything will be different. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, so that is so, so, so important. We are put together for each other, mm-hmm. for the Lord. And it's so important that we understand that, my brothers and sisters, that you who are married, you are there for a purpose. And that purpose, obviously, is to love the Lord, but is to serve the Lord by helping your spouse be in heaven and to get to heaven. Mm-hmm. And so bottom line, you do that by being honest, by loving them unconditionally, by listening to them, by supporting them, being honest when the other person maybe is getting off a little bit. You know, I'll give you an example of one. This is maybe a small thing. We all have our weaknesses, and I don't mean to do a public confession, but here we go. And that is, you know, I like movies. And it's hard to see movies, Netflix or, you know, whatever it is, without seeing thing, violence or, you know, even some things that you shouldn't be looking at. And Marianne the other day, you know, I got involved in something on TV, and I think it was actually a series, Netflix series of some kind, you know, and Marianne stopped and would say, is that getting you closer to Christ? Is that helping build you up spiritually? You know, she like stopped me and called me, you know, and it's like, okay, I turned it off. You know, I said, no, you're absolutely right. You know, I mean, this is garbage, you know, but to be there in a loving way in which you're supporting one another by honesty.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Deacon Steve, I think one of the, you talk about honesty, the other big component in a marriage relationship is trust. And trust means that you can be totally open and you can ask the other. I can ask Cindy, you know, I think I really messed up here. And really expose, I call it my soft underbelly. And that she can, if she wanted to, because she doesn't, because she acts out of love, she can do significant damage. You got to be in a situation where you truly are trusting the other. Ministry to each other, we are ministers of the sacrament of marriage.
Right.
You know, as you know, if the deacon or the priest witnesses the marriage, mm-hmm. the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. The ministers are actually the husband and wife. When we're doing the marriage prep and trying to have them understand that, some of them understand it, and they know it's very different. And the ministry doesn't end when you're married. The ministry goes on forever, because my job in the marriage prep that we've done, we say, what's your number one job as a couple? What's your number one job as a husband? Number one job as a wife? And, you know, they come up with all these things, you know, make money, buy a house, you know.
Of course.
You know.
Absolutely.
No, your number one job, mm-hmm. my number one job is to get Cindy to heaven, and her number one job is to get me to heaven.
Mm,
your number one job.
That's really powerful.
And when you think about that, what Marianne did for you was exactly that. We also have things in the house, and around the house where you and I are working, sometimes we get in each other's way. Mm-hmm. And Cindy goes, I'm sorry I got in your way. And I say, no, you're on my way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm my way to Christ. Cindy is on my way. She mm-hmm. was put there to help me go in the right direction. And if you understand the beauty of that part of the sacrament of marriage, it's just a beautiful thing. There's a richness in that obligation, that trust that you are helping each other. You know, you're off. You're not on the path. I'm on the path. You're on the path. We have you talk about TV and all that. We call them windows. You know, are you a slave to the various windows and screens?
Mm.
Call them screens if you want, because they're everywhere, right?
Right.
Can you turn them off? And how often do you turn them off? And do you turn them off and say, I do this for Christ. I do this for Cindy. I do this for my kids. You know, you could say in my mind, or I have done, a little prayer and say, I'm doing this for Christ. I'm shutting this off.
Amen. And shut off your cell phone instead of having it, you know, married to your hand, right? You know, which is one of my challenges at times. Bottom line is this, prayer changes things. And so I want to talk about that for a few minutes and talk about the power of praying together as a married couple, and also for praying for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, I pray a rosary, Divine Mercy Chaplet for Marianne every day. Before I leave the house, or she leaves the house, we pray together, you know, for blessings on what she is going to do or I'm going to do. I mean, just before we came here, you know, she laid hands on me, prayed me, anointed me in a sense, and blessed me.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy, the power of prayer is absolutely essential. Praying for that person, praying together. Your thoughts?
That's something that was awkward for me in the beginning as a convert, because mm-hmm. I thought I was praying the wrong way.
Mm.
So learning about the importance of prayer has been definitely something that has evolved over time. And where we are now is we recognize the gifts that we get from daily prayer. So I will share our practice, which is we start every morning with morning prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We do it together. I have an incentive. I get coffee in bed with it.
Ah, nice. Nice. Awesome.
And that helps. But we ping pong off each other doing morning prayer, and it takes about 15 minutes. But it really helps to mm-hmm. center
That's
and
powerful.
The start
yeah.
of the day.
That's awesome.
And to really focus so you can spend the rest of your day. So mm-hmm. you can get off to a good start.
Yeah.
And it's something that we've been doing now, I would say, for at least 5 years now, mm-hmm. 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that was a tradition for Angelo. And then I asked to join, and now it's a wonderful experience.
Right. I think one of the most important things is that it's unique to that couple. So don't think, my brothers and sisters, there's any one way of doing it.
No.
Liturgy of the Hours, morning prayer, very, very important. We bless each other on the forehead before, you know, we leave. But, you know, I know families pray the rosary together, which is fantastic if
right.
you can do that. Divine Mercy Chaplet together, or whatever it is. Create your own tradition, your own way of praying together, but pray together.
Right.
You know, I mean, was it Father Peyton that said the family prays together, stays together? At Spiritful Hearts Ministry, our ministry, and certainly Empowered by the Spirit, our radio show here, we are committed to support marriage. We're going to talk about this new show that will be heard on Spirit-Filled Radio called Wedding Bands. What it's going to be all about is going to be amazingly exciting with Deacon Angelo and Cindy Giambroni, an amazing couple. And they're so amazing that they're starting their own radio show called Wedding Bands that will be heard on Spirit-Filled Radio. And you can get your app, Spirit-Filled Radio, whether you be Android or iPhones. You just put that in, Spirit-Filled Radio, and you'll be able to come up with that app, and it's internet radio. You'll be able to hear it at any time. And there's over 20 shows, I know, on that network, but there has not been one focusing just on marriage. Thank you for your yes and saying yes to that. Angelo, tell us a little bit about your vision on what this show is going to be.
You know, I think, thank you, Deacon Steve. We see this show as being something where we can bring some practical discussions, sharing our experience, and we'll bring in some guests as well to share their experience in the various dimensions of marriage, including how marriages can be enriched. We'll talk about prayer in marriage. We're going to talk about the impact of families in marriage. We're going to go through all those dimensions that are very important and how you deal with those things, and not only the struggles, but often the joys of marriage, and it is a joyful sacrament. And we look forward to starting it and sharing our experiences again, and those of others that we may bring in to talk about their experiences in the various dimensions of marriage prep, as well as marriage enrichment.
Angela, you want to share some of the topics that we've been considering?
So,
see what a host you are already. See, you notice how you just, you know, you gave him that question. That's exactly what you do, right? You just ping a question and then bingo. You did that so naturally too, by the way.
Thank you, Cindy. Yeah. The topics we have in mind are marriage enrichment, communication in marriage, family issues in marriage, issues around trust, raising children. You can help me with Cindy. And the
finance?
Other finance is a...
I'm going to listen to that one myself. Yeah. I'm going to take notes right now.
Yeah. Well, you know that money is one of the main things
that often
breaks up marriages. And whether it's a marriage prep or marriage enrichment, it's a hard thing to talk about because money is, it's a number.
Mm.
And it's a number where is a good number and is a bad number. And if you're hiding the numbers, which is something... is not good in a marriage. In other words, a marriage where one of the spouses are a separate account.
Yeah, that drives me crazy. Personally, it drives me crazy.
And so these are the types of things we want to talk through. Even things like spending money is something that if you have a budget, do you know how to create a budget? And do you stick to the budget? Do you have a threshold where the spouse has essentially a veto authority? I want to spend $70,000 on a new car. So I went ahead and bought it because we have, you know, AAA credit rating, and here it is in the driveway. No, that would not be a way to be open in showing any trust. And really, it also, finance money is also a way, it's also a way to show something called superiority. If one spouse thinks they're superior in investing the money and disregards their spouse, husband or wife, whatever, it starts to build a level of distrust there, because why are you making all these decisions versus participating in that?
Yeah, no, that is so, so important. And I remember in Marriage in the Lord, they have that question of what is the amount that you would spend before you tell your spouse how much that is?
Yeah.
And it would be staggering what some of them were. I mean, they'd be so high, I'd just go, you know, you mean you'd spend thousands of dollars on your own without any discussion? And everyone comes from a different background, you know.
And on that, we also have couples that are getting married, older, and they already have property and they have separate, you know, they already have their separate accounts, and bringing that all together is sometimes a challenge too. On that question you're talking about, it's really eye-opening when, you know, the number is tenfold difference between the spouse. I think it's $200. I think it's $2,000.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like...
Oh, yeah. And you go, okay. Now, this show's going to be every single day, I think, right? When's it going to air?
So Monday through Friday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. All episodes will also be available on podcast on spiritfieldradio.org.
Okay, so you can get to it again through spiritfieldradio.org and download that app, and that will be very exciting to be able to hear this amazing show, Wedding Bands. Now, this is so important for me and for all of us, you know, that are serving the Lord, because we know that marriage is a focal point for attack by the enemy. And we do have an enemy. We have demonic forces who want to destroy us, destroy our marriages, destroy our families. And if you can destroy a marriage, then you're well on the way of really harming, you know, obviously the soul and the family and everything else. So it's so important. And yet, how much training do people have on how to give a good marriage, how to have a good marriage? There's very little. I mean, there are some programs out there for sure, but you really have to go out of your way to say, I need to educate myself. You know, people get married. What's their training? You know, you go to school, you become pharmacy, PharmDs and whatever. You go through all this years and years of training in order to accomplish something. Where's the training for marriage?
Well, not only that, Deacon Steve, if we think about the divorce rate, I think for many couples, they may not have had an example of a good marriage. So if there's not role models, how do you learn to do that, to your point?
Well, and so many couples getting married, you ask about their role models, and their parents are divorced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they don't have any role models, and they don't really know what to do. And they're just operating off their own passion, but not in terms of understanding the sacrament of marriage, getting back to that.
And Deacon Steve, a couple of things on what we're all talking about here. Real simple. The marriage license is easy to get. Driver's license is much harder to get.
That's funny. That's
right?
Really true.
Right, right.
That's true.
Driver's license, you can lose it, you know, a few couple of driving on your influence, okay? In other words, marriage license, you know, so it's much more than that. For us, of course, it's a sacrament. That means you have God involved with it. He's in your relationship. The amount of time you need to prepare really depends on, again, where you're at. People that have strong marriages, families have been married a long time, it's a different relationship from reality of marriages where, you know, 60-70% of marriages end in divorce or whatever the statistic is. So it's a challenge. And but it's also not just the advent of the sacrament, the marriage ceremony and the license, but actually the long-term commitment. They really got to understand this is something where ideally you're going to be so close together that you'll be seen as one. We call that unity. You're seen as one wherever Deacon Steve is, Marianne is there, or if not there, she's present in his heart and his mind. Wherever I am, Deacon Angelo is, Cindy's there, either physically or present in my heart and mind. And that reminds us, again, of how God is in the marriage sacrament. But it is a reality. Harder to get a driver's license than a marriage license. That's the reality. The amount of time you train for a driver's license, you don't see people driving around with a car. It says marriage prep and training. You know what I'm saying? You see a driver?
No.
So there's nothing like that. And so we have to come from the perspective as ministers in this area to say, where are you on that? And some, you know, we've had some couples that are very, you know, they've been planning and working on it for a year, engaged, and, you know, going through engaged encounter, and they go to marriage in the Lord, they go, and they really have spent a lot of time. You have that, and you have the other one says, we're getting married in 2 weeks. Father says, we have to.
No.
And you're like, okay, what am I supposed to do here?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which is, and then, Cindy, you've got the whole area of children. How much that marriage changes when there's a child, children involved. Again, not much training in that area.
Yeah, and no one can tell you until you actually experience it. So, you know, we have been thinking about this program, and there's a number of different topics that we want to talk about. But for those listening, I think our primary objective and what we hope you hear is that we know it's challenging to be married. And what we hope you get from this program is some considerations to help your marriage and to take you back to where you were when you first started. So to take your good marriage and make it great.
Amen, 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 amen. Final thoughts, both of you, but Angela, final thoughts.
My final thoughts on this is to know that you're not alone in your marriage.
Mm.
Okay, there are other couples who are going through the same experiences as you are. You probably see them in the pews praying together. They are praying for you. We're praying for you. And you're not alone because your sacrament of marriage has, as Christ said, is center. And the Holy Spirit is there to, sometimes things will come up that you know it's the Holy Spirit. Things that you have, suddenly we have a job, and we've gone through job layoffs, and we've gone through, you know, big housing issues where the ceiling on the house is falling down. We've gone through all that, and you just find a strength in the fact that you have somebody that's always going to be, Cindy's always going to be there. And when she's there, I'm reminded that Christ is there, and we have something that we can rely on. And that's what we talked about before, the graces of the sacrament. It's something you have to realize. You have to have faith.
Amen.
You know, faith is that. You have to believe it's there. And one of the ways to work on it is couple time. We talked about date night, couple prayer. Just you know, simple things. A prayer could be a silent moment together, Deacon Steve. It doesn't have to be something elaborate. It just could be time for us and just say, we realize at this moment, God is present. Just like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, you know, they just, the moment of breaking the bread, they realized that
their eyes were open.
Eyes are open.
Their eyes were open.
They look for those moments.
And were our hearts not burning, which is so important. Final thoughts, Cindy?
My final thing that I'd like to share is we really appreciate the opportunity and your openness to have wedding bands. Angela and I are very dedicated to marriage ministry, so mm-hmm. we'd like to thank you, Deacon Steve.
Thank you.
And we appreciate you taking the rookies on.
Oh, you guys are awesome. Amazing. And this is, again, a show that to be heard on Spirit-Filled Radio. You can download the app, 3:30, Monday through Friday, and probably will be starting in December. You'll be able to hear it for the first time. Deacon Angelo, would you close us out in prayer?
Yes. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we ask you always to be present in our hearts and in our families. We ask you to be present in marriages, in couples, engaged couples, and married couples. We also ask you to help with those who are widowed and widowers, who have lost their spouses, and they have a special need for your presence in their life. And we'll ask for the intercession of your Holy Mother as we pray.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
May Almighty God bless all of our listening audience, their families and loved ones. In the name of Jesus, amen. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You've been on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless everyone.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week. Till I am a soul on fire, glory.